They've watched Citizen Kane a combined 200 times. Elliot's first words were, "I personally thought the use of Dutch angles was derivative in the 400 blows." In Nathan's favorite historical figure is Fritz Lang. Now they're bringing that snootiness to you with Magellan's at the Movies.
Welcome back, faithful listeners, to another spooky episode of Magellan's at the Movies in celebration of the spookiest day of the year, Halloween, for sure. Firstly, I just wanted to say, we already talked about it in the previous episode, but Conclave is out now. I'm very excited to see it. Elliot's seen it. He had a very positive review. And it's doing surprisingly well at the box office, as well as Sean Baker's Anora, which is also kind of an indie, smaller film, is also doing really, really well in its limited release. I think it's getting a wide release here pretty soon. It is, if you want my prediction for Best Picture winner, I think Sean Baker's Anora is my prediction for what is going to win Best Picture. Which is not crazy. I think it's currently leading the betting odds, so I'm not a revolutionary for saying that. But anyway, Elliot, I wanted to ask on your thoughts, or if you had seen this, that today we got the first footage from Daredevil Born Again, the new series continuing the story of Matt Murdock as Daredevil. I know you're a big fan of the Daredevil show on Netflix. I have no idea where that show is streaming currently, but are you excited in any way? I know you're a bit of a Marvel naysayer, but are you excited in any way for this this show and this idea?
No, I have no faith whatsoever in this. Is Drew Goddard back as the showrunner?
I believe it is. It is like a lot of the same crew.
See, that does give me a little bit of confidence.
Oh, no, he is not.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Drew Goddard was just completely incidental to the success of the Daredevil show. Maybe, actually, he was holding it back. And without his presence, it will achieve its full potential. With the radical creativity offered by Disney. Who knows? I mean, if I read reviews that sound like, that describe something I'd be interested in, maybe I'll watch the first episode, but I'm not, the betting odds on that are not very good.
Yeah, I agree. I guess I'm kind of interested to see what they do with it, because in the trailer, John Bernthal does show up as the Punisher. So Punisher is in it, Kingpin is in it, Daredevil is in it. I want to say that Peggy and Foggy are coming back, that their actors signed up again, but I didn't see either of them in the trailer, so I can't confirm that that is true.
Well, so, if they weren't there, that would make me very sad, because I really liked that original trio, and I feel like I think that their chemistry was a not insignificant portion of the appeal of the show. It's interesting that John Bernthal is back, because as I understand it, he is very protective, or not protective, but he's very attached to the Punisher character, which implies that he finds some kind of merit in this project. Obviously, I have no idea if John Bernthal is a savvy critic. I mean, he was in that one Tom Clancy game that's supposed to be terrible, so who knows? I don't know. that's his judgment. You can take from it what you will. If you trust John Bernthal, which we have no reason to trust him or not trust him, go ahead. Take that as a good sign.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all the banter we have. Let's move over to the reviewing portion of this episode. Elliot, you picked this movie. You are, I would definitely say, more familiar with this franchise than I am. So why don't you break it down for us? Let the audience know, what is the deal with Halloween?
Well, the deal with Halloween is it's rooted in Nathan knew. He knew the instant I started talking, he knew I was going to
do a
funny joke about the actual holiday.
Joke.
So I won't, because Nathan is just too quick for me. He's outsmarted me. The deal with Halloween is that it is not the father of the slasher genre, but it certainly is responsible for the slasher gold rush that followed its release in, I believe, the 70s. Isn't that when this movie came out?
78.
Yeah. So without Halloween, you almost certainly would not have had the slasher craze of the 80s, which is an actual thing. And I do know about that because I am somewhat partial to slashers. They're usually not too scary that I can't get into them. And they're usually, it's not like slashers are supposed to be, right? They're supposed to be like a theme park kind of thrilling horror rather than like a psychological, I want to die now horror, which is not my favorite. But anyway, all that is to say that Halloween is a very important movie to horror and to slashers. And it kind of, if you watch it, you'll immediately find it familiar if you're at all familiar with later slashers, because it follows a young woman referred to as a scream queen very often. Not in the movie, but outside the movie, I mean. And her friends, as they are slowly picked off one by one by an unstoppable, usually masked, usually somewhat laconic serial killer. Or actually, they're usually spree killers, because it usually happens pretty quickly. And that's what's happening here. We've got Michael Myers, also known as The Shape, who's wearing a... It is!
No, I'm just... The Shape is a stupid, not scary name.
I agree. That is very silly. Unlike Ghostface, which just sends a chill down the spine.
Ghostface is scary. Ghostface?
He's got the face of a ghost.
Whoa.
Yeah, so you got Michael Myers. He's wearing a William Shatner mask that someone has painted into just kind of a blank death mask thing. It's a very cool mask. I like the mask a lot.
It is a good mask.
And he's come back to Haddonfield to stalk and kill Laurie Strode and all of her babysitting friends, because she is part of a veritable ring of babysitters and their male lovers. Hmm. So pretty simple concept, but it was hugely successful, hugely popular, and set off not just the slasher genre, but also the career of its director, John Carpenter. Which we're all very grateful for, because I think Carpenter is a very skillful director. So that's that. Nathan, we first watched this movie together, if you'll cast your mind back. And then after that, you went on to watch Halloween 2018, and then I followed suit. And at that point, you bowed out, and I made the mistake of pressing forward with kills and ends. Just for my first impressions, I enjoyed this movie. I think it's strong. It's entertaining. It's very well shot. Carpenter, he usually does his own scores, or he often does his own scores, and he's very good as a composer, because the score for this is fantastic. Like I said, I think Well, I didn't actually say this. I said this in my mind. But like I'll say now for the first time, I think that Michael Myers is an effective antagonist here in this movie, whether or not he is charismatic enough or iconic enough to warrant an entire franchise being built around him, I think is a separate question that is beyond the scope of this review. But yeah, I didn't come away from this movie thinking like, oh yeah, I just witnessed an absolute classic or something that I'm going to watch now every Halloween or even every so often. I would say that's mostly because it is fairly tame in some places. Just that Michael Myers, well, it's less a problem of Michael Myers than it is, it takes a while to get going, which I do admire its restraint. But when it does get going, the climax, I feel, doesn't wholly warrant such an extended build-up. Mm. I feel like the fuse that was lit was so long that you would expect a pretty spectacular explosion once it detonated. But here, it is fairly tame. The characters, with the exception of Donald Pleasance's Dr. Loomis, aren't particularly interesting or compelling. I mean, they are just normal people, which works to a certain extent of it. Contributes to the horror elements of these are just normal people going about their day, and then this abnormal, terrible thing happens to them. So, I mean, every area where I have a problem, I would say it's at least somewhat counterbalanced by a strength, but there are enough of those areas that by the end of the movie, I was just kind of in the place of like, yeah, not bad. I liked it. Carpenter would go on to, I think, do much better things than this. And that's not necessarily a critique of this movie, but it is an acknowledgement that Carpenter does have more in him than what's on display in this movie. Nathan, what do you have for us? You can talk about your history if you want, or you can just jump into your first impressions. I noticed some nods. I noticed some pained facial expressions, like you had just stepped on a tack. Why don't you tell us what's going on there, bud?
You said a lot of things that, yeah, I agree with in terms of the quality of the movie. I guess in terms of my experience with the movie, just like you said, this is my second time watching this. I have not seen any of the other Halloween sequels or the remake by Rob Zombie. I've only seen this and then, yeah, the sequel, which I saw in theaters. And then, yeah, the trailers for its sequels looked so bad, I couldn't bring myself to go to it, which I've been proven right in every instance for that. So, I like slashers as well. I think, I like every sort of genre of movies because I think it's fascinating to see what, for the same reason that I found watching the James Bond movies really interesting, I just think it's interesting when people kind of get stuck in a lane and, just fail to see, I could make different sorts of things than this, which I think is always interesting when people constrain themselves to working inside a genre, what they do that's kind of novel and new. And so Halloween's kind of interesting in that sense because it kind of set the tone for a lot of slasher tropes, maybe not necessarily inventing them. Like, this did not invent the shooting scenes from the killer's perspective to build tension using that sort of POV shot that Halloween uses at multiple points. There were slashers that did that previously, and it's not the first slasher to have, the killed people be teenage girls, typically teenage girls doing things that would be, especially in the 70s, maybe considered not a little more socially progressive, that in this movie, they're trying to link up with their boyfriends. They smoke marijuana in one scene. So these are all sort of classic trappings of a slasher movie, which I find interesting to see, especially in their early form, as they are in this movie. But I agree with a lot of the other things that you said. More specifically, this movie is slow as molasses at points. I mean, it is... And I liked what you said about slasher movies at their best being kind of more of a theme park ride than genuinely scary, because there's large chunks of this movie that I'm assuming are supposed to be genuinely scary, and I'm just like, why is Michael not doing something? Like, what is his master plan here? Because it seems to be to faff about in the hedges for like a whole day, looking around his sister's tombstone. I mean, it... And so again, like, I agree with everything you said about the quality of this movie. There's pieces of it that I find really, really good. But I just don't find it as enjoyable as other slashers like Scream, which I think is a really fantastic, like, theme park ride of a slasher that is just so consistently entertaining and interesting to watch. And at the very least, while Ghostface is incompetent and in a costume that seems to be inhibiting their ability to chase people, at the very least, Ghostface is fairly consistently killing people and doing things throughout the film. Whereas Michael Myers kills someone at the beginning and then spends the rest of the movie not doing anything until he starts killing at the end. So, yeah, I guess, where do you want to start, if we're kind of on the same page as to the quality of the movie, as we go a little deeper into a little more granular detail, what would you like to talk about first in terms of what's actually here in this movie?
Well, I think that maybe Scream is a good point of comparison for this movie, because the thing about Scream and a lot of your famous and well-liked slashers is that they have a hook beyond just man in mask kills people. That Scream is very funny. And I mean, I've said before that I would consider Scream to be like a horror comedy rather than just a straight up horror movie. Scream is very funny. It's got the whole meta awareness thing. Black Christmas is very artful, or I mean, this is my understanding of it, that it's very artful in its shot composition, and it has more on its mind thematically than just man kills people. So yeah, I think that, and part of this is difficult to attribute negatively to Halloween, because it is kind of, I mean, it's the first child problem.
Yeah.
That this genre is still in its infancy at this point. So it's still kind of establishing itself. So I can acknowledge that, but also I think that this movie doesn't really have that kind of hook, that kind of more that I want from a slasher movie. And it's possible, probable even, that that's just a consequence of my profound disinterest in human carnage as the sole and exclusive reason for watching horror movies. I know that there are some people, gorehounds is their preferred handle, who they're, when they come into a horror movie, they just want to see blood and guts and stuff. That is, I have no interest in that in and of itself. Like, if it contributes to the story, if it contributes something meaningful to the movie, then fine. But it's not really contributed. First of all, it's not that violent to begin with.
Yeah.
And also, it isn't really contributing anything thematic or all that dramatic to the movie. So this is a very protracted way of me saying that Michael Myers, for as effective as he is in this movie, and as well designed he is, and as an antagonist, he is not enough to make me care or to get me truly invested. And I think that some of that has to do with the fact that he is such a known quantity to Dr. Loomis, who is one of our primary characters. But we, the audience, don't really get that sense of Michael as being pure evil, as Michael being almost demonic in a sense. Like, I've seen people say they love Michael Myers because he seems like he may be supernatural or he may be a spirit or something. I don't know why. I don't know why they think that that is the case, because Michael Myers seems very normal to me.
Well, not normal.
Well, okay. He seems very normal for a serial killer or a spree killer.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't seem supernatural to me.
Yeah.
He certainly takes a lot of punishment in this movie, but I mean, people are capable of doing weird stuff. It would probably get more prominent as the franchise went on and Michael Myers continued to survive things that are not survivable. But in this movie here, I think we're being invited to view Michael as this force of nature, of pure evil, the way that Dr. Loomis talks about him. But I just don't see it. He, to me, just seems like a dude, a human dude, who's out there killing people. So I think that that is one of the primary problems that the movie spends all this time establishing him as such. But A, we don't have any evidence of that beforehand. And then B, when we might start to build some kind of evidence base for that when he starts killing people, he is just kind of a dude. Like, he takes some knocks. He takes some stabs and stuff, but generally he just seems like a guy who's a little crazy.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess I wouldn't be as... I don't think it's as much a negative for me that Michael isn't a supernatural force of evil, especially since I kind of feel like the movie is trying to... Especially with those extended sequences in the middle section where Michael is just kind of appearing in the background and just is around the town. I feel like him being just kind of a normal person makes it scarier, right? That if you lived in small town Illinois and you saw this movie, suddenly as you're walking, you know, home from school, you notice a car that seems to be following you and it makes you scared. Like, in terms of making very normal thing scary, I think Michael being somewhat normal is better than Michael being, yeah, like some insane demon or whatever he ends up being retconned as later in the franchise. And I think Michael is very good in that sense. For a lot of the reasons we've already said, that I think the mask is very spooky. It's unclear why on earth he felt a need to get a mask, although he does also get a mask in the opening scene when he kills his sister. So maybe it's just part of his psychosis or whatever sort of mental issues that he's going through. And there's some moments where Michael is one of the moments that I hear, maybe not talked about a ton, but that I see cited a lot, is when Michael stabs the one boyfriend to the wall and then tilts his head. That is just such a weird thing for him to do, and it feels like it's very purposeful and that it's implying something about Michael that is interesting. But I think in general, Michael is just kind of an okay villain that, I agree, in some sense the movie is trying to build up to be more than he is. And I think at its best, Michael just represents a paranoia that you know, your neighbor could be a psychopath who's going to try and kill you. That, which I think is interesting societally, as well as just in the movie. That's a scary. Trying to make normal things scary is an admirable attempt from a horror movie.
I mean, yeah, I could definitely see that. I think defamiliarization is what you're talking about, or at least that's a component of what horror movies do. For example, The Home is kind of like the physical building of the home is defamiliarized and made horrific in Night of the Living Dead. Because a place that's supposed to be safe and happy becomes a literal death trap.
What a great movie. What a great film.
I agree. I really like Night of the Living Dead. Listen to our review on it, and we'll talk. Yeah.
Think maybe going off of Night of the Living Dead, let's talk about another aspect of the slasher, which is the victims, or the kind of side characters. That Night of the Living Dead has, in my opinion, pretty strong side characters who are given pretty good qualities and traits. And then Scream is another movie that does a very good job of establishing characteristics in the victims so that you care about them when they start dying. I would say this movie does not really have that. I think Laurie Strode is an okay final girl. I think she has enough quirks that it does, that she does have some characteristics that we can kind of latch on to. The other people who get killed in this movie are, I watched this 2 days ago. I could not tell you the names of the other two girls who get killed in this movie. I have no idea anything about them. One of them is the daughter of one of the police people. And there's a third one who's also there. But yeah, I would say one of the weaknesses of this movie is that the victims, well, and I guess Dr. Loomis is very good, I think very good, and is a strong character of someone communicating how dangerous Michael is. But yeah, what do you think of the side characters?
Well, I think that actually Scream and Night of the Living Dead would be good examples of different endpoints of a spectrum of side characters. That Scream represents exaggerated side characters, and Night of the Living Dead represents realistic or grounded side characters. And this movie's side characters are more towards the realistic, but honestly, I almost feel like they went too far in that direction and just kind of made them boring. Because, I mean, the thing that makes Night of the Living Dead interesting is the character's knowledge of their situation and their reactions to it. And we don't really have that for anyone except for Dr. Loomis, because almost every single character who dies in this movie does not know that Michael is a thing. They don't even know that they're being stalked or hunted or anything. So there's no real room for them to establish independent individual voices in relation to the threat that they are up against, because they don't even know that they're up against a threat. And so I think that if they're not going to be aware of the threat, you're going to have to make them more interesting, go in the Scream direction and make them more exaggerated, just like something to make them more than what they are, which is just a bunch of high school girls chatting and living life. In the scenes when they're not actively in danger, I mean, I just don't care about them. Because they're just not interesting. And Dr. Loomis is so very interesting. And part of it is Donald Pleasance, because he's very accomplished. He's a very accomplished actor, and he does very well here. But also, it's because Dr. Loomis, in having a pre-established relationship with Michael, I'm more interested to see him dealing with a situation and hear his thoughts on what's going on than I am in the threat that Michael poses to these nothing characters who I don't really care about because, I mean, we know virtually nothing about them.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to get invested in them and therefore be moved in any serious capacity, excuse me, when they get killed.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of that is just the movie not aging well because of that kind of first child problem that you were talking about. That if the movie's intention is to be very realistic and make you scared of normal things when you go out and just live, then obviously the movie is achieving that, right? Like, most normal people wouldn't have a really strong personality or character if you only observe them for like one day of their life. I feel like, you know, that's realistic, that the strength of the characters at the time existed in how much they seemed like you and your friends going out and hanging out. And so, presumably, given the success of the movie, that the movie achieved that. But I don't think watching it now, you know, 50-some years after it came out, there's very much of that same sense. And all of the slashers that came after it had so much of, yeah, some of these things that you're talking about, that they had more exaggerated characters who had less realistic sort of things, but stronger characteristics, so you could grab onto them and care about them when they inevitably ended up dying. So I feel like a lot of the problems I have with this movie are just like first child problems, that it's like, hey, this is neat that you did this, but this other guy did it better. And how could you know how to do it better unless you had seen that guy do it? That, you know, there's just nothing. It's not a fault of anyone who was actually making the movie, I guess.
Well, I would, I don't know, because I think that I definitely get what you're saying. And, but I think that these characters, their lives aren't really disrupted. They're just ended. With the exception of Lori, none of them are put into a position where they have to grapple with something completely out of the ordinary, something that they're not in any way, shape, or form prepared for, something that they've never even considered happening to them, because they die so quickly. That Annie doesn't really have any chance or any opportunity to internalize this kind of abnormal situation, because she never is aware. She is never aware of Michael. And she dies without even actually seeing his face, because he like just holds her from behind and stabs her. So she doesn't know that he's, she doesn't even know that he's a thing. John Carpenter, the thing.
Good reference.
I like how they had that. They had the original Thing movie playing in this. I guess he just really likes that story. But anyway, I think that if the movie was going for that, which I don't know if it was or not, because obviously I'm not privy to that information, but if it was going for that, then I don't see what kind of sense it makes to have the characters be unaware of the abnormality of their situation. When you compare that to the characters in Night of the Living Dead, I mean, if they just died before they even had a chance to theorize about what was happening, to get into these arguments about leadership and strategies, I mean, that there would just be nothing. George Romero would have failed in what he set out to do. And I don't think that this movie failed in what it set out to do. And I do think that after this, we should start talking about some positives, if we have them, or I can talk about positives. I just think that this movie has set its sights fairly low. And so it achieves what it sets out to do, but in setting its sights low, there's only so much that I can be like, oh, wow, great job, guys, because it is, by the virtue of its aims, a relatively minor accomplishment.
Interesting. I feel like we're kind of talking at cross directions, so I do think we should move on. Although I was just saying that I don't think that the character is not grappling with their situation. I wasn't saying that it's realistic in the same way that Night of the Living Dead is realistic. Because I don't think Night of the Living Dead wants you to be afraid of what's happening to the characters happening to you. But I think Halloween is trying to make you afraid that what's happening to the characters is going to happen to you. Which is what I was saying. That they're realistic so that when you go home, you check the closets, or, you know, you stop smoking weed or something. That, like, the characters don't have to grapple with, you know, the reality of their situation, because what's scary is like, oh, that could happen to me. That's at least what I felt, especially with, like, the ending shot where it's, you know, all it's going through town with Michael's breathing in there. And this is, I'll pivot into talking about something that I like about the movie, that I think the scenes of Michael's POV shots with his breathing is very, very effective horror in so many different ways. They're great shots just because it's a scary shot. Like you said, defamiliarization of making normal things seem scary. A dude looking in your window while you are just kind of going about your life, that's universally terrifying. Everyone who's ever looked down a window and thought, if there was someone out there watching me, you know, I'd be very frightened. I'd be upset by that idea. And I think the sound of his breathing is such an effective tool to make it even scarier, that I don't think is present in some of the other movies that I've seen with this kind of killer's POV shot that was done to death, so much so that in Blowout, the very first shot of the movie is making fun of killer POV shots. But I think that's very, very effective horror, and the final shot of this movie, again, feels very much like the intention is, like, he could be out there, behind any bush. Michael Myers could be there, and, you know, you should be so scared that something like that's going to happen to you. And so I think in a filming sort of, in a cinematography standpoint, I love all the shots of Michael's POV. I love all the shots of Michael just kind of driving around town chasing people, even though, again, it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's kind of frustrating that his grand scheme seems to be just wandering around his hometown, seeing the sights and taking in the views. It is still, I think, an effect, maybe not effective in the sense that it's making me scared, but I can appreciate what's going on in trying to make other people scared. So I think in general, the cinematography in the movie is doing a very good job of trying to bring forward this defamiliarization and these thoughts of what if this was your town?
Yep. It could happen to you. It's in fact, Nathan, what's that behind you?
It's Michael Myers.
Oh no. Wow. Yeah. I mean, Carpenter is a very good director. And he has a clear and in-depth understanding of shooting horror movies. This movie does a really good job of establishing sort of Michael's trademarks, so that you're always kind of looking around for him, looking for the man in the suit, the mask, the car. Like there's multiple shots where he's just driving around in the background and the shots just kind of linger for just long enough that you're like, all right, well, where is he? Where is he? There he is, the son of a biscuit. That's very good. I mean, that's skillful. That's very accomplished.
Yeah.
And I think that just in general, Michael Myers is very well shot. You only ever get really fleeting glimpses of him when he's not just impossible to see in shadow or filmed from a very low angle, that you only ever get glimpses of his mask, and you get one glimpse of his face for some reason. And he just looks like a dude who's got a funny eye. So yeah, that's very good. And Carpenter does that a lot actually with the background, that there's the whole thing of looking for Michael in the background. And also just, there will often be shots. I think the most prominent one in my mind, at least, is the shot of Laurie sitting in the doorway of the bedroom. And she thinks that Michael is down for the count. I don't know why she thinks that, because she's witnessed him twice now recover from fairly serious injuries. But anyway, she's just sitting there. And then in the background, Michael Myers just sits up and he does it very well. He's got some really good abdominal strength. So yeah, that's really good. And it does go a long way towards making this movie enjoyable to watch, just like on an aesthetic level. It's very pleasing. It's very well filmed. And so even in those moments where I don't really care about what's happening on screen, there are things that I'm like, oh, this is a nice shot. This is well composed. And I like all the long, I'm making a bit of a mess here. I like all the long tracking shots. Part of that, I'm guessing, is due to budget, that they just didn't have the money or the time to set up a bunch of different shots and get things from different angles. But I think it again establishes a very unique look to this movie, especially when compared to a lot of other horror movies that typically rely on choppy editing or shaky cam or a bunch of other stuff that I hate to disorient the audience. Whereas this movie is more slick and more steady, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like maybe I've been a bit too harsh on this movie, because I think of all of the, well, besides one, which I'll mention later in the episode, but of all of the kind of like predecessor to the slasher movies, or of kind of the progenitors of the slasher genre that I've seen, Halloween has got to be above some of the others. I'm not a huge fan of Friday the 13th, because it's ridiculous and the scary scenes are sillier than they are scary in a lot of cases. I think this movie has a little bit of the silliness. Why, for instance, does Michael put on the ghost costume to go back into the room? That doesn't make sense. He's just having a little bit of a goof.
He even puts on his glasses.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But it's not as ridiculous as Friday the 13th. I like this. I think Michael is a more compelling and effective villain than Leatherface is in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is just, again, it blows my mind how the characters don't just instantly escape from such a bafflingly incompetent villain as Leatherface is. Which I'm going to lose all of my cinematic cred for not liking Texas Chainsaw, because all of the cinema nerds I know are nutty about that movie. Tarantino thinks it's a perfect film. So,
oh, just whatever.
That's how you know the film bros love it, is when the lord of the film bros, Clinton. But anyway, I think I enjoy watching this one much more, and that's because of the technical aspects. I like the cinematography. I think there is much less time spent on silly little side quests that can happen in other horror movies. And the villain is an actually effective killer. I mean, he doesn't spend a lot of time fumbling around doing some nonsense. And he usually kills people pretty fast, as opposed to, you know, doing some ridiculous nonsense with them before deciding to kill them.
Yeah. don't you want to watch Terrifier and see true sadism?
No, I don't. I read a review today of a friend of mine who watched Terrifier 3, and I aggressively agreed in concept with everything he said. I saw something with this is nothing to do with anything, but I saw something about the director that they were saying, like, they do have lines, and they were like, I chose not to show, like, a kid being killed at the beginning of the movie, and I was like, what a pointless line. Like, what a stupid... I mean, if you're trying to, like, push boundaries in terms of, like, gore and stuff, what a stupid line to decide to, like, that it's like, I'm not going to show children being killed. That's just, that feels so lame to me. And very arbitrary. It feels very arbitrary in a way that I'm like, you know, just don't. Like, if you're going to go and be and make a terrible movie for sadists, just make it as awful as possible.
Wow. All right. Nathan wants people to kill kids on screen. Interesting.
No, I just think it's kind of it's hypocritical.
I think you're absolutely right. So
whatever.
There you go. We're never going to review Terrifier.
Never. We did get an offer from a friend of mine to review it on. It is kind of, I mean, it's always neat when movies made for nothing make a bunch of money. So that's neat, I guess. But it seems like most people are just going to see people get mutilated, which is less great of a reason to see a movie. But anyway, maybe
again,
let's go back.
I mean, that's the gore hound population.
The gore hound. What a
and
cool
look,
name.
If that's your thing, I mean, whatever, man.
Yeah, we're not. It's Magellans of the movies. The Magellans are a bit squeamish.
Yes,
so.
the Magellans don't have stomachs for that kind of thing.
We don't. Anyway, I am ready to do my rating for this movie, Elliot. If you were ready,
well, I'm just gonna run through a few more quick positives. First of all, I just want to say that I also feel like I've maybe given the wrong impression of this movie. I think this movie's entertaining. Like I said, yeah. I enjoyed watching it. It's enjoyable to look at. And Carpenter is a very good director. Again, the music, very good. I really like that piano line of the, like, dun-dun, 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 when Michael is, like, when the stuff's really going down, very good. And also the theme. I mean, this movie's theme song is classic, and it's yeah. really good. It's really mysterious. I can play a little bit of it on the piano. Yeah, that's very good. And then in terms of acting, there are some good performances and there are some not so great performances. Some of the teenage girls are a little, I don't know, they're a little iffy. But Jamie Lee Curtis, very good. She really sells Laurie's likability and then her terror at the end when she's running around. And also, just getting no help from anyone.
Well, see, I think that's another part of, like, the movie trying to convince you, like, this could happen to you. Because, I think the 70s were a pretty bad time for, like, people helping other people and serial killers. So I think that's another very effective use of, like, you know, you're going to be chased by some sociopath and no one's going to even help you. Like, that's a scary prospect.
Yeah. Unlike now, when the world is united in human brotherhood.
Yeah, a lot of good Samaritans out there today.
Yeah. well, anyway, I mean, that's whatever. She only tries one house for some reason. I don't know if she's on a street with only those three houses. Her house, and then the Strode house, or not the Strode house, the Myers house, and then this house that she solicited help at.
I don't know.
I guess it doesn't matter. And then, yeah, Donald Pleasance, great actor. I wish this movie was about Dr. Loomis, because I found him really interesting, and I found his single-minded determination to, like, kill Michael Myers That's an interesting motivation, especially for a psychiatrist. Does psychiatrists not have to take the Hippocratic Oath?
Heck no, he did it. He did it. He took the kill Michael Myers oath.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, I think there's stuff to like in this movie. Absolutely. This is by no means a bad movie. Like I said, I think that if I were to have to sum it up, I think I would go back to the movie achieves what it sets out to achieve, but it sets its sights fairly low. So, yeah. Nathan, go ahead, append a numerical grade to this movie, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I enjoy this movie. I agree with a lot of the things that you said. And yeah, I think the movie has kind of been one-upped by a lot of its predecessors. Or not predecessors, the people who followed it. That's not predecessor. Some of the movies that followed from this movie. But I still think this is one of the more entertaining grandfathers of the genre. I'm going to give it exactly a 7.0 out of 10.
Okay. I'm really torn, as usual, between a C+ and a B-. Because one feels too harsh and the other feels too generous. So I'm going to give it a C++, which I think I may actually have done before.
Yeah, you have.
I've sort of cheated my own rating system. So, yeah. I think this movie's decent, entertaining, worth a watch even, especially if you're interested in movie history and horror movie history. Absolutely, give it a watch. But there's not a whole lot beyond that I can say to recommend it to a very wide audience.
All right. I'm going to do my recommendation, which is my favorite granddaddy of the slasher genre. And that is going to be Halloween's spiritual successor, from my understanding, Black Christmas, which features a escaped mental patient who I don't even know is ever seen in the film. I think he's exclusively shot from the POV shots. But he is terrorizing a sorority house over Christmas break as some of the girls are getting ready to go home. And I think it is very effectively scary. I think the characters are very well done. And I think, like you already mentioned, Elliot, this movie has a very clear objective in mind beyond just being scary, that it is communicating some of these ideas that the women are not being trusted, they're not being helped in the way they should be, that the police are kind of useless in this movie. There's a fair number of characters just straight up telling the women, hey, I think you're insane, and I think nothing's happening, and people are just leaving for Christmas break, and they're not dying, and you're ridiculous. And it has, for my money, a fascinating ending that I think is just so interesting, and I have not really gotten it out of my mind since I watched it. So I think if you've seen Halloween, or if you've seen some of these other slashers, but you've never seen Black Christmas, I would definitely say go back and watch it, because it is, I think it's a movie that's aged very, very well because slashers went in a different direction. And so while it has some of those classic trappings, it's really interesting to see just like a different version of how the slasher could have turned out.
Okay. Very interesting. That's one of those movies that I know a lot about, but I haven't actually seen.
Yeah.
So I can't second that recommendation. My recommendation is going to be a bit of a cheat, like I said to Nathan earlier, but whatever. Watching movies is hard. Thinking about movies is hard. And I've only seen so many. So my recommendation is going to be Halloween 2018. I think that this movie is just as entertaining, It's basically Halloween, the original, but with a bunch of, if you think about it like a video game, it would be like a remake with a bunch of nice quality of life improvements.
Sure.
That it's a bit more, well, obviously, it's got more effective lighting and camera techniques. The coloring is a lot more, there's a lot more room for playfulness in that. Michael Myers' mask looks really cool. I really dig the beat up mask look thing. I've talked about this movie actually before and my admiration of its restraint and how it does actually enhance the impact of the moments where it really goes for broke on the violence. I think that's very good. That's what I like to see. Restraint and build up. And this movie's got it. Yeah, it's really entertaining. I rewatched it a few nights ago and I was like, dang, not bad at all. I really enjoy that. It's like Halloween, the original. It's not going to blow your mind. It's not going to make you think about things differently, but it's just an entertaining slasher with some really good payoffs and some really good setup and payoff. So go watch it. I think tomorrow's Halloween. So actually this review will be released the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
But if I could just send out like mental telepathic messages, brainwaves, I would tell you watch Halloween 2018 in honor of Halloween this year. And then leave us a comment, send us an email if that actually worked. If you were struck all of a sudden by, oh, I think I'm going to watch Halloween 2018.
Yeah.
I'm rambling. Let's cut this off. Let's acknowledge that life is hard and full of disappointment.
Of course.
And let's have Nathan take us out.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Are you a film bro and you're upset that I said that Texas Chainsaw Massacre isn't that good? Send us an email. Let us know your thoughts. Do you love Halloween? Do you think we were way off? We always love getting emails, responding to them. Interacting with our audience brings us so much joy. And yeah, thanks so much for listening to this episode. We're going to be back next week, as always, with another brand new movie review. We're very excited about it. So have a great week, and thank you for listening.